Brother Marshall. He's sick, in case you didn't know that. He'd had a cold all this past week and seemed like it turned into the flu. He had all kind of problems. He said, "I just cannot do it." Well, I'd already obligated to be at Bristol this morning to teach a Sunday school class. So I told him, I said, "Well, I've already got an obligation for Sunday school. But I'll tell you what, if you'll just tell them that if I'm not there when they get ready to start, go ahead and sing a song or two." And I guess you did. You had already sung a song or two when I got here this morning, but we came straight from Bristol, and now we're here. It's an amazing thing. You know, the Lord's word itself says, be instant in season, out of season. So we need to always be prepared. Amen? I appreciate that song they just sang. Thank you for choosing me. That's a choice that God made. God didn't have to love us, amen? But he did because God is love. And you guys up in the sound booth up there, I didn't have a chance to give you the scripture and all, but if you want to be pegging it in, I'll go ahead and tell you, okay? It will be in Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 through verse 27. And then also Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. So making a choice. Now we each one make a choice. Sometimes choices are not easy to make. Have you ever faced a tough decision to make? One which you just really didn't know which way you were supposed to go? I'm sure you have, because sometimes those choices we have to back off and scratch our head a little bit. But we do make choices every day of our life. We made a choice. You made a choice whether you were going to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I made that choice, and Brother Marshall called about 8:30 today. You know, I could have said, "Well, Brother Marshall, I just can't do it. You know, I'm already obligated." But I didn't. I made a choice, and I told him that I would be here, Lord willing, do the best I could. So we each one make a choice. Now, sometimes we make that choice. It's concerning things of life. Sometimes it's about a job or a vocation, or sometimes it's for pleasure. Now, yesterday afternoon, I made a choice to go fishing. Now, I know some other people had also made that same choice. I won't call any names, but, you know, they didn't catch any. And thank you, Lord, we did. And had them last night for supper. We made another choice. I had the invites to get those things cleaned, and we'll just cook them up for supper. So that's what we did. So I had fish and grits for supper last night, and they were good. So we make a choice, right? Now, some of those choices, it's very simple. You know, don't have to put a whole lot of thought to it. But other choices, we have to spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation about it. Now, some of the choices, some of the things that happened to me in my life and in your life, we really do not have a choice in it. Now, by that statement, let me say, did any one of you have a choice in whether you were male or female? Did you make that choice, Brother Jimmy? You told your mom and dad, "I'm going to be a boy," right? Yeah, you made that choice, huh? Well, how many of us made the choice and say, "I'm going to be white. I don't want to be a Hispanic or a Mexican or black or a red or yellow. I'm going to be white." Did you make that choice? There's a thing that we have heard in our later lifetime, didn't hear about it that much in our younger generation, but DNA. You know what that means? I didn't have a choice in my DNA. Did you, Lucille? No. That came from mom and dad, right? They passed that down to me. I didn't have a choice in it. Now, one time I stood almost, not quite, but almost 6 foot tall. Now, in these later years, I've shrunk a little bit. Anybody else know what I'm talking about with that? Now, I didn't make a choice in getting to be almost 6 foot tall. And I didn't make a choice in getting shorter over the years, okay? Now, some of you, I look at you and I say, "Well, gee, they've lost weight." Well, you've made a choice to lose weight, right? Yeah. Unless providentially hindered, you had a serious illness that just took that weight off, whether you wanted to or not. But most of us, when we lose weight, it's because we make that choice. Now, when we finish up this morning, we're going to make a very important choice. We're going to choose what we're going to eat for dinner. Everybody likes to eat. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to make a choice what I eat. Now, back when I was younger, Mama would look put stuff on the table, and she didn't give me much of a choice. Kurt, you remember, Mama, she was a good cook. And I remember some of those times that she fixed things that were not particularly appetizing to me, that I really did not care that much about. And apparently the other brother and sister didn't care that much about it either, because it didn't get eat very fast. But Mama would make this statement, says, now one day you're going to make a choice, and you're going to decide you want something different. Well, I'm telling you, I've already made a choice. You're not getting anything different till you eat what I've already fixed. Huh? And then all of a sudden, whether we liked it or not, we'd all eat a big helping of it, and then Mama would keep her word. She'd fix something different. So we make choices, right? We make choices. In Joshua, we see a lady, Rahab by name. She made a very important choice. A very important choice. So read with me, Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 through verse 27. We're not going to go into the entire account, but this is the latter part of it, okay? But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, now cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The latter part, the story of Rahab the harlot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, what a wonderful God you are. God, I want to thank you that you chose me even before I chose you. Lord, you give us choices each and every day. And I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom and knowledge that we'd be able to make the right choice. And I truly believe that everybody's heart desire here today is to be a child of yours. To be in the Father's house is the greatest blessing of all. And Lord, I want to thank you for each day, our daily bread, for life, for health, for strength, for this wonderful land in which we are blessed to live in. Father, there's many things that I know is not pleasing in thy sight. There's abomination, there's corruption, there's all kind of abuse of mankind. And Lord, this is not according to your word. And I know it grieves your heart to know that you made man in your image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And you want us to love one another. But Lord, there's a lack of love in the midst. So God, would you help us to truly be caring, compassionate, concerned for our fellow man. And as you have given to us, Lord, may we also be willing to give to others. As you have enabled us and helped us to make the choices in our life, may we also be an influence to those around us that they should make the right choice as well. Now, Brother Marshall was not able to be with us this morning. Lord, he's sick in the body. But God, would you bless him in a very special way? Touch him and anoint him. Just fill him with thy Holy Spirit and help him to feel better. For Brother I.B. on the mission trip, Lord, watch over him and all of those who went, and may they do a wonderful work in thy name. So bless this church, this congregation, and all of these people. And Lord, as we depart from here, help us to say, truly it was good to be in the house of the Lord this day. So we're very grateful, very thankful for each and every blessing, each and every day. May thy will be done, for it's in your name we ask and pray. Amen. Making that right choice. We mentioned several choices that people make, and I'm sure that you could think of many others that we must make, that we have to make. But Rahab, when it says the harlot, now that three words right there, Rahab the harlot, now that gives you a pretty good picture of what this woman's life had been like. She had loose living. In our day and time, we would say she had been a prostitute. Even at this particular time, she still may have been actively engaged in that in her life. We do not know. But she had made choices. And the choices she had made had led her the way of the world. But she, as well as all the rest of us, there comes a time in our life that sometimes we make a choice and there's a change of life. Sometimes we see things differently than what we once did. Now, when I was a young boy, a teenager growing up, even before I chose the Lord as my Lord and Savior, even before I made that profession of faith, I just ran foot loose and fancy free. Beat out all the paths in the woods around the house. Knew every briar patch, gallberry patch, palmetto bush. Knew all about those things. Now, we made choices then. And I've made choices in my life that I live to regret. Do you know what I'm talking about there? You ever made a choice that after you made it, then eventually you saw that was the wrong choice? Boy, did I make a mistake there. Yes, I've done that. I've been there. I've experienced that. But in my choice of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's a choice that I never regretted. Now, God didn't ever tell me that walking for him, working for him, was going to be a bed of roses. He never made me that promise. But he did promise me, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And I have always believed what God said. Now, I don't know about you. In our day and time now, it seemed like people want to question everything. Even the authority of God. Now, Rahab, in the life that she lived, she was not the role model of the community. There had been a lot of things said about her, without a doubt. She did not have a good reputation. But she did make a choice. She made a choice one day, and if you go back two or three chapters over there where the spies first came into the land, and the report that she told those two men that came to spy out the land, she said, "Now I know God is great. And I know that God has already given you the land. And I know that God is able." So see, she made a choice. Changed her lifestyle. Changed her way of thinking. And then later on it says that when the people of the city of Jericho, when they heard of these two strange men that had entered in, they began to seek them. Well, she hid them up on top of the roof. And after dark, then, she let them down by a cord over the wall of Jericho. Now, she also, in her conversation with those two spies, she said, "Now, remember me. When you come, I know you're coming, and you will destroy Jericho." Now, Jericho was one of those cities that felt like it just could not be conquered. The walls of that city were great, they were large, they were high. And it had stood for many, many years, and no one had been able to conquer it. And they felt like that within the walls of Jericho, they were safe and secure. But Rahab the harlot, she saw God in a different viewpoint. And she said, "I know God will destroy Jericho. Now, when you come back to destroy this city, remember me and remember my household." Now, when I read here where it talked about they burned the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. Now, in verse 25, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. Now, saved her father, saved her mother, probably some nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters, all that was in her household. They all came out safe and secure. They were saved. Now, there's no mention that anybody other than Rahab had made a choice to follow the Lord God Almighty. There's no mention about her father making a declaration of faith. No mention about her mother saying that God is on the throne. No mention of any of these others. Now, what I'm saying by that is, you never know the choice you make, the effect it may have on other people. Now, the choice that I make, the choice that you make, it can affect people either good or bad. Amen? Yeah. Now, we would hope that my choice, and when it comes to my children, my grandchildren, they are very special indeed. And you that have children and grandchildren, you know what I'm talking about. Those are special people. You don't want anybody messing with them. You'll do anything you can to help them, but you don't want to see anybody hurting them. Now, Rahab cared for her family. Now, Joshua, when they came to destroy that, he gave word by a sign of that cord that was let down from the window of the house of Rahab. He said, "Now, when you see that cord, you do not destroy that household. You do not destroy that woman. But everybody else within the city, they shall be slain. The entire city shall be burnt with fire, but they are to be kept secure." So what I decide, what choice I make, does have an influence upon the people around me, just like it did with Rahab. And we never know. We never know. Now, if my family depended upon me, or your family depended upon you, would you make the right choice for them? Would you help them to know the way of the Lord? the way that leadeth to life everlasting? Or would you make a choice that would lead them out into the world, into the way of destruction? So every one of us make a choice. I chose what clothes I were going to put on this morning. You chose what you were going to wear. We chose how we were going to comb our hair. We chose what we were going to do. And probably without a doubt, most of us already have an idea of what we have chosen to do this afternoon. Amen? Now, it may be some of us just want to go home and get in the recliner and snooze a little bit. Okay? Now, I've been guilty of doing that myself, so I know people make that choice. All right? Well, what about tonight in service of the Lord? Have you already made it up, convicted within yourself, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Now, this fellowship is like a lot of other fellowships. A lot of people here this morning will not be present tonight. They just will not be here. They've made choice to do other things. But let me tell you, there's nothing more important than you can make than to make that choice to serve the Lord. Follow the Lord with all of your heart, with gladness and singleness. Let the Lord be on the throne. Now, Rahab, she realized this way of life that I have lived all these years. She knew God was able, and God would do exactly what he said he was going to do. So remember me. Now, God kept his word. That song that they sang at the special, God chose us. God chose Rahab. And if you know anything about Rahab, you know she was a great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, even in the line, the descendant of King David. That means she was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can God use a person like that for such a role as being in line, part of the lineage of his family? Well, yes, he did. Well, see, God doesn't look at us for what I am right now. And thank God, he looks at us at what we can become. Amen? See, I may not know what choice I'm going to make tomorrow, but God already knows. God already knows what decisions I may have to make. And God already knows whether I'm going to stand for him or against him. A house divided cannot stand, is what God's word says. Now, if you're not for the Lord, you're like that house that is built upon the sand. And when the storms of life do come upon it, which they will, and the rains will beat down upon it, that house that does not have the good foundation will fall. But the Lord says, now that wise man, he built his house upon the solid rock. And Jesus himself says, I am the rock. And there's no other way of coming to God the Father but by him. I made a choice. There's no other name like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one could do for me what he has already done and what he's going to do. So Rahab was saved on that eventful day. Did she remember that day? Well, I tend to think she did. I don't know about you, but I tend to think that had an impact upon her life. That was a day that she would never forget. I'm sure. Now, God did not tell her when she was departing out of Jericho. God didn't say, now, don't look back, as he did Lot and his wife and all. You know, God told Lot and his wife and the two daughters, now, don't look back toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Lot's wife couldn't resist the temptation, could she? She made a choice, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, God didn't tell Rahab not to look back. So for all we know, when Rahab was safe, secure, and sound some distance away, she could have watched the destruction of Jericho. She could have known. That's a powerful God that's at work down there. And she would have always remembered it. But God is still on the throne. Now, there's a lot of things, a lot of ideas, philosophies, and doctrines that are floating around throughout society today that would have you to believe God has lost power. God is no longer in control. But let me tell you, God is in control. God has not lost that power, and it will be right if it's according to thus saith the Lord. You think about making these choices and decisions, about Rahab could have watched the city of Jericho as it was destroyed. Go back for a little bit beyond that, back into the early account of Genesis, when God made man and woman, male and female, created he them, okay? Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden, a perfect environment. Now, what choice do they have to make other than serving God? God provided everything they needed, amen? Yeah, God did. But now, think about that day, that eventful day, when Adam and Eve stood before that forbidden tree. I tend to think that possibly all creation may have stood still as they watched Adam and Eve as they approached that forbidden tree. What choice are they going to make? Are they going to pluck that fruit? Oh, don't tell me they did. Oh, but they did. Not only did they pluck the fruit, but they ate thereof, right? That's what God's word says. I believe there's a hush came over all creation. Because, see, Adam and Eve had made a choice. And now mankind was going to pay for it throughout eternity. Yeah? Sin entered into the world. And don't tell me there's not sin in our world today, because it's evident all around us. We are still paying the price. Now, God chose me, the song said. Well, didn't God choose all people to be saved? That scripture said, now it's not God's will that any should be lost, but that all should come into repentance. That means God, and the scripture says, you know, God did not create hell for mankind. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't want to see anybody spend eternity in hell. So by that regards, God chose all people that they should be saved. But see, like Adam and Eve had a choice. Either right or wrong, you and I also have a choice. I can either accept the Lord or I can reject the Lord. Now, when Jesus said, you're either for me or against me, that meant that there was no middle ground in there. Now, if God had allowed middle ground to be in there, even if he had set the boundary and said they're just as much for me, middle ground, and against me, if all the segments had the same territory, mankind would have always been trying to get the middle section that says middle territory. They'd always been trying to get it bigger. We'd have been making an excuse. But God didn't leave us that choice. Now, God chose us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary. He died that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He made that choice. He didn't have to do that, but that was his choice. So making the right choice. As Adam and Eve transgressed and sin came upon all mankind, so the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient and submissive to the will of God the Father, and all mankind has the opportunity for salvation. But God doesn't force that salvation on anybody. You go over in Luke. Turn over in Luke now. Luke. And we read in chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Can you see the choice that thief on the cross made? The Word of God gives us two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. The other thief, he was still making a choice for the way of the world. All he could think about, now if you really are the Christ, if you really are the Christ, the Son of God, then save yourself. Oh, and by the way, save us too. You know, this is a dreadful place. These nails, this hanging on this cross is not pleasant. Save yourself and save us too. What he was thinking about, I'd like to get back out here into the world. Sow some more wild oats. But now that thief that was hanging on the right-hand side of the Lord, he rebuked him. Basically, I want to say he said, "Shut up! Man, don't you fear God? Don't you know who you're talking to? I mean, look, you did wrong, I did wrong. We deserve to be on this cross. The penalty of sin is death. We're receiving our just reward. I deserve to be here. You deserve to be here. That man's done absolutely nothing wrong. Don't you fear God at all?" And then can you imagine when he turned his eyes, and without a doubt the Lord turned his head, and they met in their gaze. That thief saw the Lord straight into his eyes, and the Lord saw that thief. And that thief humbled himself, and he made a choice. "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, did Jesus rebuke him and say, "Ha! Oh, man, you've made a choice. You've already lived the way of the world. Now, at the very last, just before the last breath of air, you want me to do that for you?" Is that what the Lord told him? No. The Lord says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Because the thief made the right choice. Now, he could have died without making that choice. And if he had died without making that choice, his eternal destination would have already been sealed. But since he made the choice to follow the Lord, to stand up for him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, how hard is it for you to say, "Lord, remember me"? Huh? How long has it been since you asked the Lord, "Lord, remember me"? Don't you know that the Lord cares? He sees every one of us. Every one of us. He sees when we're humble. He sees when we're full of pride. He sees when we're up. He sees when we're down. Lord, remember me. You know, I'm glad you remember everybody else, but Lord, I need it. Amen? I do. Lord, I want you to see me. And the Lord did indeed see him. So that thief, he died. He breathed his last breath of air. But that was not all. He was with the Lord in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yeah. Because he made the right choice. Now, the choices that you make, and bear in mind, before we leave here this morning, you're going to make a choice. And that choice you make could be the most important choice you ever make in your life. Now, I thought it was very important when I chose Jean to be my wife. I thought it was important when I went to work in vocation. I thought it was important when I made a choice to build a house. You know, I thought. But none of those choices are important as a choice of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know where you stand this morning. I'm not about to stand here today and say, well, you're like Rahab the harlot, or you're like that thief. No, I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that God's word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us have a right to be proud of ourselves. We're all guilty in the sight of God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away that guilt. He did it for Rahab. He did it for the thief on the cross. And he will do it again today if you will make that choice and say, Lord, remember me. Are you going to have that opportunity? We're going to have a song of invitation. Brother Orville, if you will, come. Let's have a song of invitation. Give the people an opportunity to make a choice. And I trust and pray you make the right choice. But I can't stand here today and promise you, yo, you have another opportunity. No, I can't promise you that, because the word of God says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of the Lord. This may be the last opportunity you have to make that choice. So if you've been needing to make it, and you don't have to depart from here, go out of this place without having called upon the Lord and say, Lord, save me by grace. Will you do that? Where do you stand today? What choice are we making? Is it right or is it wrong? May God bless. What are we going to sing, Brother Orville? I am thine, O Lord. May we all be able to say that.